So the third noble truth is the end of suffering, nirvana. It's very, very simple. The end of suffering is about letting go. Doesn't mean not living or not being present. People confuse letting go with leaving the world. That's the opposite. That's called running away or fear. Right? Letting go means letting go into each moment, into this next moment, so that we are here with things as they are. So the third noble truth is letting go and stop going in circles and coming to rest in the reality of the present. This is from Kabir, the ancient Indian poet. He says, "Friend, please tell me what I can do about this world I hold on to and keep spinning out, samsara. I gave up sewn clothes and wore a robe, but one day I noticed how well woven was its cloth. So I bought some burlap, but I still throw it elegantly over my left shoulder. I pulled back my sexual longings, and now I discover that I'm angry a lot. I gave up rage, and now I notice that I'm greedy all day. I worked hard at dissolving the greed, and now I'm proud of myself. When the mind wants to break its links to the world, it still holds on to something. Kabir says, listen, my friend, there are very few that find the path, yet it is right here in front of us." So this is the third noble truth, which basically acknowledges that we don't own things. We are not the owners. We don't own our children, thank God. You know, I mean, if you try to possess your children, it makes them crazy and sick, and you as well. We don't own our work. We don't own the earth. You know, you have a title, "This is my half acre." It's not yours. We don't own our minds. I'm sure you've noticed that. I mean, there. The mind, when you learn to meditate, after a while you begin to see that the mind has no pride at all. It will do anything. Right? And you don't own your bodies. I mean, we're just given this. It's like Avis, Hertz. You rent it for a while and you take care of it. You know, you want to return it in decent condition, or more or less. It kind of deteriorates, but because you got to take it around places with you. But you don't own it. It's really true, we own nothing. We're like accountants in the firm, it says. You know? We're entrusted with a body, with a heart, with the capacity to feel. And so the third noble truth is that of letting go. It's of another possibility, not of accumulating and grasping. Because at the end of your life, especially if you have the privilege to be with someone who's dying, who's done some spiritual work, the questions that we ask are really very simple ones. It's not, you know, what did I build and make and write and do and so forth when you look back. But did I love well is one of those questions. Did I really let myself love the people around me and the family and community and the earth? That's what matters. Or did I learn to live fully moment to moment? Another way to say that is, did I learn to let go? Because if you haven't learned to let go by that point, then you have what is called a crash course, you know. But it's said to die before death, to do it now so that you can live from that place of awakening. The third noble truth, the possibility of balance in the midst of the changing 10,000 joys and sorrows. Now, there's a wonderful illustration of meditation that I saw on a poster one day of Swami Satchitananda. He's a Hindu guru with a long gray beard and flowing hair. And he's a wonderful teacher, actually. Teaches yoga and meditation. Anyway, he was standing in a little orange loincloth in some variation of the tree pose. Only he was balanced on a surfboard on a really big wave like that. And it was impressive, I'll tell you, this big picture of him. And underneath it said, "You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf." Meditate with Swami Satchitananda or something like that, kind of a. And that really captured the spirit of meditation in the picture. It was wonderful. It's not that you sit and you're supposed to have some particular thing happen. It all happens. And often when you sit, what you get first is what you've run away from. To sit is to look in the mirror, to meditate, to do spiritual life. Is to stop, and then all the things that we've said, well, I don't want to feel this and look at that and so forth, they're what we get first. I call it the Freudian layer, right? That's the first stuff. But you sit and you find that balance and you discover that there is another possibility, which is to open in the midst of all of that. The Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and he didn't say no to anything. He sat there and he didn't make some philosophical argument and he didn't try to convince anyone of anything. He didn't refute anything. He just sat there and said no to nothing. He didn't say no to anything. And so he became free. Zen Master Suzuki Roshi in San Francisco, when he was dying of cancer, he called his students together. Most moving passage in his book for me. And he said, if when I die, if I suffer, that's all right, you know. That's just suffering, Buddha. No confusion in it. Maybe everyone will suffer because of the physical agony or the spiritual agony, but that's all right. You should be grateful to have a limited body like mine or like yours. If you had a limitless life, it would be a real problem for you. But what a phrase, if when I die, if I suffer, that's all right, you know, that's just suffering, Buddha. Sun Buddha, Moon Buddha, Happy Buddha, Sad Buddha, Joyful Buddha, Suffering Buddha. This is the end of suffering, which is to say there's pain, but there isn't that conflict. It's the end of conflict. It's really simple. Spiritual life is not a complicated thing. It's very, very, to let go is a very simple thing.